This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Wrestling Network. Hello and welcome to episode number 9 of Wrestling's Kicking Salad. My name is Ben Locke and I am here as always with my two excellent co-hosts. It's February, so love's in the air, but I can't promise many good feelings between these two, I'm afraid. First, a man so young. He is so excited that this year he'll be able to buy his first Valentine's card. It is, of course, going to his beloved Goldilocks. He has been quite traditional and taken the classic I choose you card. It's everybody's favourite dirty little bitch. It's Logan Crosland. Hello, Logan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Ben. Fantastic intro there. I love it.
I'm sure your wife won't mind.
No. She loves Goldie too.
don't we all?
Yes, we do.
And our other co-host is a man who is so old, he can remember making a card for his wife carved out of stone with granite, damn it. It is your friend of mine, the king of the shit take himself, Mr. Sean Kidd. Sean, how are you?
Good evening, Ben. It's amazing that you went back to the Flintstones days where we got to carve in the love messages in the rocks, and I think I had the very first one I carved out for my wife in our bedroom from when we got married 100 years ago. So thanks for that intro.
That and Dobby take pride of place, yeah?
Well, you know, the wife rules the roost, so Dobby dominates the household, and she probably likes the Dobby more than me at this point.
I could make a joke there, but I won't.
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Ben, just imagine being Dobby's bitch. That's just a next level low.
I was about to say, that is like Uber.
I didn't ask for you to get involved in that. Shut up.
We're two minutes in and they've started already. Excellent.
Well, we don't want to disappoint our fans, so let's really do this.
That is true. In this episode, gentlemen, we will be pleased to know that Logan had the pick this month. So, Logan, tell the good ladies and gentlemen what show we are talking about tonight, please.
We're going to be talking about No Way Out 2003. It has the second Scott Steiner Triple H match, and it has the very disappointing second Rock Hogan match. So I'm looking forward to talking about those ones later.
My next question to you was going to be, why did you pick this show? But you've pretty much just answered that with, it's got Triple H Scott Steiner on it.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's all you really have to say is it has Triple H Scott Steiner on it. So that makes it bad enough already. And it's in Montreal, and Montreal, as Aaron told us yesterday, has never had a good show. So
yeah. Just remember, nothing important or historical ever happened in Montreal. I can't recall anything.
I sure hope our one fan in Montreal doesn't hear this podcast.
well, if we do, we apologize in advance.
but not really.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to be sincere, Sean. Come on, help me out. Yeah. Help your brother out, man.
Sorry, but no.
But Sean, you'll be pleased to know it's time for your favorite part of the show where we talk like live memories and stuff. So, Logan, would you have been 9 at this point or at 10? I'm trying to get the timeline right.
I would have been 9 at this point. I would have turned 10 in August, so I was almost 10, but not quite.
So were you watching? Did your mum and dad let you have the pay-per-view or?
No, they didn't let me order pay-per-views till a little bit later, but I was watching weekly every week on TV, so I was watching the TV at least for sure.
Okay, cool. And I was like, I definitely was watching because this is still in the time period where we got pay-per-views for free, you know, pay-per-views for free over here, which is an oxymoron in itself. But yeah, they didn't start charging us. I think WrestleMania 20 was our first one that we got charged for. Sean, I imagine you were getting quite well oiled and whilst watching this.
Yeah, unlike Logan, who was probably watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on his TV during this pay-per-view. I was literally, so I feel like we're going back to form from our early days on this pod. I was probably very well oiled, probably smoking a pack of cigarettes in front of the TV. I remember watching this one live because this was literally, I think, 6 months prior to me starting to date my wife. So I was still in that mode of drinking, smoking, all about Sean. I vividly remember buying this pay-per-view and not believing they were actually going to do a second Steiner Triple H match after the disaster at the Rumble. But I was all in on the Rock and Hogan thing. I thought, you know, it was a different dynamic with Rock coming back as a heel, and we all know how that first match they had was, and it was legendary. So there was some stuff to look forward to in this, even though the main event, very questionable decision on their part, but I was definitely looking forward to this pay-per-view when I got it.
This was a show with a triple main event. Not only did we have them two matches, we had the return of Steve Austin going to be taking place here as well.
Yeah, that was a big deal as well. I mean, who he's facing was questionable, but it was still a big return for him to come back.
Well, you know, he's got to show some ass summer.
Well, I mean, I guess it made sense in the story, but anyway, you know, we'll talk about that when we get there.
we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
So let us send that time machine way back to 2003, February 2003 to be precise. We are going to Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Like we said, nothing of any importance in the wrestling world ever happened in Montreal, so we can just leave it there. We can just leave that there for now. Rory made a point on the last podcast, Rory McNamara, saying that we, you know, this is a podcast where we like to accentuate the positives. And that is what I'm going to do right from the start, gentlemen, if you don't mind me saying. A certain member of the Place to Be Nation Parish will go on and on and on and on about Headstrong by Trap Song Headstrong, sorry. You can have Headstrong. I'm going to rage you tonight. Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. Logan, this song is great. It's a proper earworm once it gets in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about it later. It actually gets you excited for a match that has no reason to ever get excited about. But it actually makes you kind of pumped for the match. And it's really made me pumped up to start the show with the whole, like, dungeon locked in the jail kind of thing. That was a cool open with that song playing. So, yeah, it's a great song for sure.
And I tell you what, Sean, as well, I like the fact, and I don't know why they didn't do it, but there was no, obviously we all watch this on the network, there was no video package before, it just went straight into the show.
No video package, but I'm like Logan, I like the whole dungeon theme with the music playing in the background, but I think we went right into the show because the big money for this song comes later on, to Logan's point, in the package for a match that, to Logan's point, really didn't deserve the greatness of the package it got with this song.
But no, it's a great, great, great song. Wrestling pay-per-view or otherwise, I would say.
Probably one of the best ones. Probably one of the better ones in history, actually.
I would say so, because this is when they were starting that whole period of, you know, using theme songs that are the traditional wrestling songs, weren't they?
Yeah, this is up there for, I mean, to be honest with you, this is up there for Mania 17, that promo, the song in that kind of compared, for me, it compares to that, because I think a good hot song could make any feud look really, really great, and tonight will prove that.
Absolutely.
So, our host for tonight's show, from SmackDown, it's your usual pairing of Taz and Michael Cole from this time period, but for Raw, it's Jerry the King Lawler, and the coach, Jonathan Coachman. The reason we have Coach subbing in for JR is due to the events of last week's Raw, where Eric Bischoff and JR decided to have a match, and JR suffered a storyline concussion. So that's why he is off camera. I vividly remember that match, and it is really the drizzles.
Well, I mean, literally, the concussion. He should have killed him with like, was it like a concrete block against the head? He should have been dead, not a concussion.
So we'll go to our opening match, and Logan, I want you to, I hope you know, sit down. I hope you're okay, because it is your opening match is Chris Jericho versus Jeff Hardy, and it is unfortunately Jeff's last pay-per-view match for nearly three years. Or WWE pay-per-view match, I should say. You know, we have that thing that's in TNA that we're watching in 04 at the moment.
You can't escape the
Jeff
Hardy.
Yeah, that thing.
Modest. So, Sean, I'll begin with you. First of all, this was a great carry job by Chris Jericho, I felt.
This is going to hurt me. So we recently did the match we did for Highway to the Impact Zone with Jeff Hardy that I actually didn't rate that bad, Logan, that dropped recently. I don't remember what the match was.
Was it the Mighty match?
That sounds right.
Well, anyway, there was a match that we watched with Hardy, and normally I'm a big proponent of shitting on Jeff Hardy, especially in this time period. And it kills me to talk about this match. And to your point, we'll go with the fact that Y2J carries him. Do you want me to talk about the whole match now or just...
We can do.
Okay. So, you know, this is pre-Mania 19 Jericho. You know, he's really, you know, he's going into this feud with HBK, which I was so stoked for in 19. By the way, WrestleMania 19, best WrestleMania ever, and I will forever die on that sword. We're in Montreal, of course. There's got to be a Brett screwed Brett, some kind of thing there, so that's always got to be there. Hardy, it was good to see he was out in his 2004 TNA glow jizz, as well as he was coked out of his mind and also in his dirty clothes. So not much had changed from 2003 to 2004 with that look. But here's the thing, announcers calls Hardy conflicted, and I put translation means addicted. So he's not conflicted, he's addicted. You know, Hardy gets his paint all over Y2J's face, but there's some nice work here. Nice somersault off the apron by Hardy outside, a slingshot body flip he does, and Hardy's showing some really decent offense. There's a slow chin lock spot in the middle, but Jericho comes back, has some good chops. Hardy actually uses a code breaker, which I found very funny, years before Jericho ever does. The crowd is super hot for Jericho. There's a spot in the match where Jericho misses a lion salt by quite a mile. But at the end, Hardy does a really nice whisper in the wind. And normally my problem with whisper in the wind, it always looks tropey where someone's standing and waiting. But it looked really crisp and it looked really good. There's a hip toss off the top rope by Hardy that was really good. A good swanton. A small package from a lion tamer. Hardy brought – I mean, you could say Jericho carried him, but I thought Hardy brought the goods tonight. And I liked this match quite a bit, and I actually went 3 stars, and that absolutely destroys me to do on a Jeff Hardy match. I really, really enjoyed this match.
Before I go to Logan, shall we have a guess how many drugs Jeff Hardy was actually on at this stage?
Well, he carries on to 2004, so this is like right at the beginning stages of his pure coke madness.
Logan, I'm gonna actually agree with Sean to a point, because yeah, it's probably a bit unfair of me to say that Jeff was carried as much, because he did hold his end up. I'm gonna give your boy a bit of credit here.
Don't be modest in your saying that WrestleMania 19 is the best WrestleMania, because it's absolutely true.
I can't believe we agree on something. That's amazing.
Yep.
Just you two.
These two are two of my favorite guys ever. I love Jericho and I love Jeff. Like Sean said, Hardy's at his glow stick jizzy best, of course, coming out to the ring. At one point, Hardy has Jericho in an armbar, and he kind of kips up and immediately slaps him. I love that part of it. Jericho, at the beginning of the match, gets booed, and he's in his home country, so I thought that was really crazy, but it kind of switches back and forth throughout the match, so it doesn't always stay that way. At one point in the match, his paint's kind of coming off, and King says he looks rough, and I said King has no fucking idea how rough he is. I completely forgot about this little, like, Hardy being mentored by Shawn Michaels angle. I forgot that was a thing. Shawn talked about the whisper in the wind. He absolutely crushes Jericho on that one. He lands
right
on him.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best ones I've ever seen him do. So, it's really good.
And, yeah, absolutely. And like I was saying about the crowd, they immediately switched to, like, cheering for Jericho, so they're kind of living up to their Bizarro World nickname that they've kind of given the Canadian crowds throughout the years. The crowd really loved this match. They're really into it the whole time. There was a brutal dropkick. Jericho was kind of going to the corner, and he lunged off the ropes and got drilled by a dropkick. That was pretty awesome. And then to finish the match, he hits a powerbomb off the top rope and then locks him in the walls and gets him to tap. But yeah, really strong match. And I actually went 3 as well.
I was only a step behind you. I went 2.75. I loved the hip toss off the top that Jeff does. That was, it's the swanton. That was really good. Like you say, and the whisper of the wind was superb. Really, really was crisp. And Logan, this crowd was, like you both mentioned, this crowd was super hot, weren't they? Absolutely molten off from right.
They're
from the
hot
top.
All night, not just for this, but they're hot all night long.
Right from the start, they're on it.
I have one more question before we move on. The fuck was Christian's shirt that he was wearing? It was like a long sleeve chainmail like shirt. It was so weird looking.
You've just beat me too.
I'm sorry.
You're all right.
Christian desperately at this point needed a gimmick change so bad. Like, just second rate, you know, great value, Edge, like, protege. I mean, he just looks so bad. He's just stale.
Yeah, CLB was still a year away, wasn't it, at this point?
Yes. He's just so stale as a character here. It's sad.
But yeah, after the match, like Logan says, Christian and Shawn Michaels comes out. For some reason, they don't like Shawn. I don't understand why. What could Shawn have done? He just came back.
He's got a big match coming up against Jericho. I don't know why anyone in Montreal would hate Shawn Michaels.
He's got that lovely pudding bowl haircut going on.
Yeah, I mean, what did he ever do to Montreal?
Exactly. You know, it's not like he badmouthed a Canadian hero or anything there, you know.
Well, you know, Brett screwed Brett.
Yeah, they were really smart to not book him on this show in a match. So good job, WWE.
Yeah. Some brains were actually on display at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we then cut after the match. We cut to the back where we get a promo from Team Angle, which is, of course, Kurt Angle, Shelton Benjamin, and Charlie Haas. It's basically Kurt trying to motivate the two chaps up and is able to run down Canada in the process. But he also has an idea of how to give them an advantage going into their match tonight. We'll see how that pays out later. We then cut again to the parking area where a limo pulls up with all of Evolution in it. I'm right in saying, sure, this is the official start of Evolution around this time.
Yeah, So real quick, the Team Angle stuff. So you got two of my favorite factions here, just full transparency. I love Team Angle. I love them. I love Kurt talking about there's no Olympic heroes in Canada worth mention. I love the tag belts, and I love them calling Lesnar a walking gorilla. Team Angle was amazing. Just too short-lived to be something super great, but really good. Evolution, you know, reminds me of a 2003 Four Horsemen. I like them. They're matching jackets, and they're just very horsemen feel to me. And yeah, I'm not a big fan of Triple H. I have issues with Randy Orton's like bowl cut at the time, but this is really a tight group, and I think you got something special with these guys. And yeah, you're right. It's just them starting to emerge, but I like both these like little snip promos quite a bit here. I thought they were cool.
But also, Logan, as well as the limo, we had the Stone Cold truck in the background as well.
Oh yeah, that was a good, nice tease without kind of showing Austin, but showing the truck there. But yeah, like Sean said, these are two of my favorite factions ever. I like he said, actually, I'm not a big Triple H guy, but I like the group as a whole. But another funny thing Kurt said in that promo was he makes fun of Montreal, saying that their people can't decide whether they're French or Canadian. So I thought that one was pretty good.
Kurt Angle is so amazing in everything he does.
What was the line with the gorilla? It just, we're facing a big gorilla and two ugly Canadians.
Yep. Yeah, it was a big walking gorilla and two Canucks is what
that's
he said.
That was it. Kurt, just a man. Our second contest of the night is for the Raw Tag Team Championships. It pits your champions, William Regal and Lance Storm, against the new wacky tag team of Rob Van Dam and Kane. Now, Logan, if there's a troupe I hate more in wrestling, it's the wacky tag team. That, you know, the two guys that, hey, they shouldn't get along, but guess what? They do, and they're great.
Yeah, I really hate when they do that nowadays, but I'll be fully transparent. This is one of my favorite kind of randomly thrown together teams. RVD and Kane were kind of one of the best tag teams in this little era, this time period. But I love them. But you want me to talk about the match or?
Give me a second. My first note I was going to say was the fact that Regal and Storm's music sounds like something you would hear on the West Wing. It was all very official and ominous sounding, and you know, it was like quite dark. I did like that music. I totally forgot about that. As for the match itself, I will let you talk about it, Logan, but full transparency again, this match for me was not that great, but only because of the injury to one William Regal, or the concussion, I should say, that takes place during the match.
Yeah, I'll make note of that as well. But to start the match, I really liked that RVD and Kane RVD and Lance Storm, sorry, cut a quick pace early. They kind of do a couple of quick moves to each other. And then he tags in Kane, and Regal comes in, and he actually does a power slam and knocks Regal completely out for like a couple of seconds. So much for Kane never hurting anybody. So, you know, because they always kind of say he's one of the safest workers ever. But a little later on in the match, Regal kind of gets back in and gets his head back right, and hits a full half Nelson suplex on RVD and just dumps him completely on his neck. Eventually, Storm does a DDT on RVD, and I made the note that nobody ever has taken a DDT as well as RVD, because he immediately goes straight down onto his head and sells it really well. I thought it was really smart at the end of the match by the heels to kind of turn Kane's mask so he accidentally chokeslams RVD. But I really enjoyed this one. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Kane and RVD. And Storm and Regal are a good heel team for sure. So I went 2.5 on it.
Cool. Sean, I don't know about you, but I was really pleased to see the return of the quite possibly one of the most vicious suplex you'll ever see, which is William Regal's on Rob Van Dam, the one he did at the... It was not as good as the one he did at WrestleMania 18. You know the one I mean, the German fold over snap suplex.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like you, I thought this match had great potential. I think the injury hurt it. I'm with Logan that I did enjoy the finish. Like, I thought it was really genius to turn the mask and get RVD thrown in the chokeslam. I mean, this is pretty smart booking that, you know, if you think about it, you would have thought someone had done 100 times before, and it was unique that you saw it here and you don't really ever see it again. So I quite like that ending. I thought that Storm and Regal were probably a team that had a great run in them that we just never got long term, because they're both great, great technical wrestlers, and they probably had a great run in them if they had just had more time. Obviously, Regal got hurt. I mean, he was definitely got, you know, he was just out of it for a long, long time. RVD's always great. His leg drop over the rope on the Storm was good. There was some long blah, you know, heat on RVD, but good tag work from Regal and Storm, I thought. I always like the, I like the Kane does that flying clothesline off the top rope. I always think it looks good when a big guy does it, and this one looked really good. But the injury takes it out. I went 2.25 stars on it. And then at the end, you get RVD very angry, and I put he's probably going back to smoke some weed to cool off.
He wants to make sure Jeff hasn't took it all from him.
Correct. Yeah, I thought it was a solid match, but it's definitely hurt by the injury. So 2.25.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I wasn't looking forward to the match. I'm like you, Sean. I thought, yeah, this match has got a lot of potential, but sadly, the injury does take a lot out of it. And I only went 2 stars, so again, I wasn't that far behind you. Sadly, this would be William Regal's last match for a whole year, because not only did he have an issue with the concussion, they also found a heart condition when he went to the hospital to find out what was actually wrong with him. So yeah, it was April 2004 when he was next back in the ring. So that's how serious it was at the time.
And I think Logan brought up, Logan, you said RVD and Kane is one of your favorite kind of thrown together teams.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is long term here, this is their team is kind of the start to where Kane goes to the unmasking and that whole terrible Triple H. I mean, yeah, you can like their thrown together team, but I don't like the end outcome of what this team leads to. It's one of my least favorite time periods in wrestling.
Shane, I've got that image of Shane in the battery. It's all you need.
Correct.
We go backstage again, though, gentlemen, where we get a reunion of the Hardy Boys. On this particular occasion, it's Matt Hardy giving Jeff some welcome words of advice, which for some reason, Logan, Jeff didn't take, sorry, that well, and gave Matt a slap. I don't understand why. He was only trying to help.
Yeah, he was only trying to give him a little bit of mattitude so he wouldn't lose every match like a loser. That's all he was trying to do.
I'm right.
Prick.
Speaking of Matt Hardy, he's in our next match, which is for the Cruiserweight Championship. He is facing Billy Kidman. If you'll just pardon me again, gentlemen, for a bit of a musical interlude. Oh, yeah! Sorry. For as much as I hate Jeff Hardy, yes, I am a Matt Hardy V1 mark. I'll get it outright.
You're a big MF-er, huh?
I am a bit like, you've seen me. I am a very big MF-er. So we have got some Matt facts as always, gents, because it is one of the best entrances in the business. Matt is annoyed by snow and ice. And he also takes hot tea with milk and sweetener. Sweetener? Oh, Matt. No, sugar, mate. Sugar.
I do hot tea and sweetener, too.
Of course you do.
Yes.
But I really like this match, Sean. Billy Kidman definitely can bring it. And yeah, Matt Hardy's just great.
Yeah, the promo before, there was a point where Josh was actually fat-shaming Hardy as a cruiserweight, so that was pretty wrong. But so I thought that was funny as part of that whole thing. But here's what I didn't like. Like, Kidman's music was, like, not his normal music. It was some kind of weird rap intro. And I know when I think Kidman, I think rap. Just a really terrible song, and I put, where's his other music? Cole, fashion statement, wearing a nice 70s gray turtleneck and a jacket, which he looked like he was right out of the 70s with. You already brought up, as much as I hate Jeff Hardy and Modest, I love Hardy's intro, and I love his annoyed by snow and ice, and I love his music. There was a nice arm drag and Karana spot by Kidman. I like the dueling hit toss spots they were doing. There was a sidewinder into a pin attempt that looked really good. I thought Hardy looked good in this too. I always liked that leg drop from the second rope. I always thought it looked crisp from Hardy. I think Kidman does a great drop kick. The bulldog running up Shannon to Matt I thought was a really nice spot, and I thought the twist of fate looked really, really good in this. I also liked this match quite a bit, and I went 2.5 stars on it.
Excellent. I just want to relay a bit of commentary that I didn't notice. I only noticed till the other day when I was watching it again, which is when Taz is going on about how Shannon Moore is addicted to BJ.
Oh, my God.
Where Yeah, and if you notice, Michael Cole nearly loses it on air. He's gone. He's got to take a couple of seconds to compose himself.
As tired and old as the King is with his sexual innuendo jokes, Taz at this time really got some good ones in.
Taz was able to clarify that he did mean banana juice, though.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, Sean's mentioned a couple of the high points of the match, Logan, but I thought that finish with the top rope twist of fate was superb.
Oh yeah, that was a really, really cool, really awesome finish. But I've already got Sean's shit take hating on the Kidman music. I fucking love that theme. It's one of my favorites.
That music sucks so bad.
So bad. Love to.
Because Kidman equals rap. Come on, Logan, really?
No, it's awesome. It used to be on one of the old one of the CDs they put out. I love it. But early on in the match, Hardy's trying to show off his cruiserweightness by doing some jumping jacks. I thought that was pretty hilarious. Kidman hits a little bit of a Frankensteiner almost at one point, so I wonder if he was trying to impress Scott backstage. I have a couple of Taz commentary lines. He starts talking about Hardy rubbing nut butter on his joints. So it had me rolling. I was laughing so much. He was talking about him like rubbing it on his elbows and his back. Matt plays possum at one point in the match too. And, according to Taz, Mattitude makes you act like a possum. So, another great line from Taz. And like you said, the twist of fate from the top rope for the win was an awesome way to finish the match. And I went 2.5 as well.
I really liked how they built that twist of fate as well, because like he hit it twice during the match and he couldn't pin Kidman with it, so he knew he had to go big to get the title. And obviously they were doing that, like Sean said, the fat shaming storyline, so he knew he had to do something with that weight advantage, which, and they kind of played that into the match a bit, I felt.
Yeah, he played it really smart by kind of using his size up against him, and this was a real smartly worked match by Hardy.
Yeah, I went 2.75, so we're actually not too far away on all our ratings so far tonight. So you know we're doing quite well here.
So far, it's been a pretty solid show.
It really has. I mean, who's to say it? You know, who's to say why or it may fall off a cliff or why it's got a reputation it has.
Oh, it will.
We should have some like ominous music there and go duh, duh, duh. We, after the match though, and after Matt's celebrations, we cut again to the back, where Edge is face down on the floor with Brock and Chris Benoit looking over him along with Stephanie. This was to cover the fact that Edge was on his, was it his first or his second neck injury, Sean? I always lose track.
It was his first one.
I think it's his first it's one. His like Logan said, his first one. Yeah, this thing is weird because Stephanie was way overreacting, and Lesnar actually caring about another human being made me laugh because he gave those shits about this.
I know Sean is our prime Steph expert, Logan, but would you say this is peak Steph right here in the business suit? There you go. I think we've got
it's close.
We've got Sean.
It's close for sure.
Dude, peak Steph in sure. Those business suits. Oh my god. All right. Let's move on.
Just go.
I'm old. I'm old. I'm getting hot flashes, so let's move on.
Our next match pits The Undertaker and The Big Show. And in 2003, I want to say this is a match that had not been on pay-per-view that many times at this point. Sean, I don't know if you'll agree with me on that. I mean,
well,
you know.
No, I mean, like in 99, so it's weird, right? Like they have a history. Like in 99, they were tag team champions. Then I believe they lost the titles. This is like September of 99. They lost the titles to Rock and Sock. And then Taker was gone for a long period of time until he came back. So they have history. Like Taker actually, I don't remember if you remember that, but Taker was almost like his mentor kind of scenario. Yes. And they were tag team champions, and then they up and it just disappeared. But to your point, they never really had a solid, really singles feud or singles match. So you're correct.
Now, Logan, I don't want, just a peek behind the curtain here. I'm going to know if you two are the same as me. I'm going to direct a question to Logan, though. Like, you have to pause the match and rewind a couple of times to make sure that you've got everything. I don't know if you're... Are you the same as me like that?
Yeah, sometimes. I more struggle with that when I do the hosting part. So, yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from. Yeah, when I do Highway to the Impact Zone, I have to rewind a bunch. So, I get where you're coming from.
The point I'm making, or I'm going to try to make, is I'm not saying this match was slow, but I was quite able to, like, watch everything in the match and make my notes and make my dinner at the same time.
Yeah, but it was slow, for sure.
It was, you know, for the Undertaker and Big Show in 2003, Logan, I thought this was all right, to be fair.
Wasn't too bad. Do you want me to talk about the match?
Yes.
Okay. I got you. I'll go to the package before the match. I thought that was really something with all the boxes and stuff like that. And I love the bellhop Spanky and the Boy George Canyon. It was nice to see Canyon in 2003 WWE. I didn't know he was still around back then. But Taker comes to the ring to... the music with the words where Jake is in Ruthlessly Aggressive. It's that music, but it doesn't have the words yet, but I always preferred it with it had the words. I made the note that I love that Big Show's red undies are showing out throughout his singlet throughout the whole match. Let that whole
pop out. Big Show on ruse.
But I made the note that this was really slow and punchy and rest holdy. That's kind of my best way to describe it. I think the fact that the Undertaker does a tope over the top rope, I always thought that was really crazy. And I didn't think he really did that until he went back to the dead man gimmick. I didn't know he really did that during the American Badass run. But it's always impressive to see he does that on A-Train when he comes out. But, it wasn't bad. It was a Taker, a Big Show match, like you said. But I went 1.75 stars on it.
There was a couple of things I did like in it. I did quite like the whole Big Show giving them multiple elbows. Like I actually counted them because obviously there's a match later on where we'll be counting holds as well. This had seven elbows in a row at that point, and also the spot where Big Show starts doing the headbutts, which legitimately busted Taker open, Sean.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure I saw where Taker gigged himself before one of the headbutts.
Okay. Well, I thought, I was making dinner, Sean. So
I thought
on.
It was. So I actually made a note. But here's the thing. I this match could have been so much worse. Like, just could have been awful.
Definitely.
And they made the comment that this feud has gone on for 4 months. I don't remember this feud going on for 4 months at all. But Taker was apparently gone for 3 months and came back. And then I made the notes about Kendrick and Canyon and Brother Love. And then Canyon as Boy George. I think this is right around the time that Canyon actually came out. And I believe there's a story out there that Taker just stiffed the living shit out of him in this segment. And he went out. I think this is when he went out because Taker beat the shit out of him. So that was a little disturbing knowing what happens with Canyon. But it's still the Boy George thing. Typical Vince McMahon wanting to jump on real life and just terrible taste, at least in my opinion. I did appreciate there's at least a build for this. I thought Taker looked in really good shape. I thought there was a nice big leg drop on the apron. I always thought it looked impressive when the Taker did it right. The right hand to the chair I thought looked really good. I thought the suplex to Taker was impressive. There was lots of punching and tropey bear hugs. I get it. The tropey side slam the Taker. To your point, I thought the headbutts were really, really cool, but I think there was a spot before the first show headbutt that Taker actually did gig himself before he even did the headbutt. There was a spine buster by Big Show that I thought looked good. You brought up the Taker dive to A-Train and Heyman. I don't think this match is bad at all. I think it's kind of a solid Haas fight, and it could have been worse, and I actually went 2 stars. I did not hate this match. I thought it was okay.
I went 2 as well, so, again, we're you know, agreeing. This is lovely.
It's not gonna last. Yeah,
I also made the note about the AA spy buster. That was really good, to be fair. Yep. But, we praised the high heaven, the finish in the last match. I'm going to have to mention the finish of this match because, was this around the time when we started the Undertaker submission machine thing?
Oh, because he had a triangle choke in this,
yeah,
right?
He knew he could do a dragon sleeper, and he knew a triangle choke as well.
I want to say he started doing that with his feud in Lesnar in late 2002, mm-hmm. didn't he?
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where that started. So
yeah, pretty much when he turned face in August of 2002, he started doing the submissions.
Yeah, when he started going after Lesnar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they either used the wrong camera angle or they just were not putting it over right on commentary because it was like, all right, okay, he's doing this now.
Did either of y'all write down what the Undertaker called the Dragon Sleeper? I meant to, and I forgot, but it was something absurd.
Taking care of business or something?
The TCB?
TCB, but take a care of business, so T-A-K-E-R.
Okay. Oh, God.
How original.
That's so bad.
Yeah. If you're gonna do a pun, do it right.
Sure.
that sounds to me like you didn't believe it, Logan. You're not feeling the pun.
I'm not feeling the name of that move. That's awful.
Really bad.
So far, gentlemen, so good. We're about halfway through the show, so at this point, we shall take a break. On Wrestling's Chicken Salad, looking at 2003's No Way Out pay-per-view. My name is Ben Locke. I'm with Logan Crosland and Sean Kidd, and we will see you on the other side. Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode number 9 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. My name is Ben Lott. I am still here with Logan Crosland and Sean Kidd, and we will be back to No Way Out 2003 very shortly. But first of all, I want to tell you about some of the great podcasts that are available here on the Place to Be Nation and elsewhere. First of all, the newest episode of With This Ring is available with Ryan and Cindy discussing their GWCW match choices, including Cindy's number one match. On episode 569 of the Place to Be podcast, Scott and JT are with newcomer but longtime fan Mike Lawrence to discuss the 28th of October 1991 MSG House Show. Marty is joined by Justin for Pro Wrestling Love number 9 to continue their countdown of the 100 greatest NWA WCW matches with 25 to 11. That's the GWCW to you and me. but remember, you could please rate, review and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Amazon Music. Just search for the Place to Be Wrestling Network. You can also check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed with some great shows that include The Year in Pop, PTVN Trivia Night, Laughing Theatre, Telly and T, The Great Debate, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, A Place of the Action, Making Mount Rushmore, Blockbuster Rewind, and so much more. There are also two other great podcast feeds out there that we would like you to subscribe to. First of all, is Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position. This is the home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, and The Journey Through Infinity, and so much more. You can also check out the new North-South Connection brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. This is the home of Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, The Gang Gets an Always Sunny Podcast, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, TNA Devil Dies, Shrink Wrapped, Rank and File, and much, much more. Remember, you can join our rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. There are discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture. Be sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day, where there are new voices and fresh takes bringing new articles to topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey. If you're doing any online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right-hand side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use placetobenation.com /Amazon, and it will take you right there to the Amazon homepage and helps out PTB with no extra cost to you. Also, there is another place out there which sells things to do with Place to Be Nation, but as always, I am not at all qualified to tell you about that. I do, however, know a man who can. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Fowler.
Hi, I'm Joe Fowler, and I would like to tell you to check out our new PTB Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logos on great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more. Just go to www.tpublic.com and type PTBW in the search bar. Hank, I have a question for you. Are you making any headway on that merch? Well, I actually have a question for one of our hosts here. Mr. Benjamin, am I to believe that Mr. Criscolo will be on an episode coming up?
Hi, Hank. The request has been put out there, and so far he has agreed to do it.
Well, I got news for you, Ben. I'm going to fuck him up when that happens real good. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get my merch one way or another. All right, Ben, I wouldn't want to be in Hank's way. Back to you across the pond.
Sean, I think we're going to have to make sure them two just, you know, do not talk to each other that often.
He sounds very, very angry about that constant battle for the chicken salad merch. I would not want to be one Scott Criscolo right now.
Logan, the challenge has been made.
I was going to say, I think that might be a Mania main event right there, guys. Criscolo versus Carter.
which one's going to point to the sign first?
It'd be really great if they would fight on top of the Lex Express.
Ooh, yeah.
With the children being like the fans around the bus.
Yes, with the children around the bus.
Being like a Bray Wyatt situation, they just all stand menacingly singing, "We've got the whole world."
That's an image now. I'm not going to be able to get out of that out of my head.
You're not going to be able to sleep for a week after that one.
I feel bad having to go back to our show now. Now, you know, in the first part, we were sort of going on about how hot Steph was looking. My note for this next segment, it begins like this. Steph, and I've got in brackets, looking very hatchy. Which, you know, just to let you know, this is me sending, you know, women's equality back 20 years. So she has to tell Brock and Chris Benoit that they've made their decision. So now, you know, they've made their decision. So now you have to live with it while she takes Edge to the quote-unquote local medical facility. Can't call it a hospital, remember. Local medical facility. We got from there to Eric Bischoff and Chief Morley plotting in the back about the kind of match they can have tonight. whether it'll be a lumberjack match or a free-for-all for all the heels to join in. Vince, though, comes into their dressing room and lets them know that nobody else will be allowed at ringside or else they will be fired on the spot. Logan, I thought these were two really good segments.
Yeah, and to set sexual inequality back a couple of ways, she says she's going to go take care of Edge. So you could rein into that one if you wanted to. But like that, she's looking very hachi-machi. Yeah, Bischoff's little segment, he's with Chief Morley, or as I wrote down, Chief Cuckoo nowadays, because he's pretty batshit insane now. But yeah, good old Chief Morley. But Vince comes in and says he was really impressed by Bischoff's karate display on Raw, and says he thinks Bischoff can take care of himself, so nobody's allowed at ringside. So the seeing the color in his face kind of wash out when he said that was really, really funny. You know, sad Bischoff's a really good facial.
Sean, I mean, this to me is sort of Vince's schizophrenia kicking in big time, because in this he's like, you know, the biggest babyface that ever babyfaced, and then later on he goes down a very dark path.
Yeah, Vince is weird in some of these, but going back to Stephanie, she makes the comment, she goes, "We will take care of Edge," and I made the comment that I wish 2003 Stephanie would take care of me. So do with that as you will. Karate Eric and Chief Morley. Karate Eric cracks me up. Eric Bischoff, you know, and I made this comment on Jake's pod, is so good in this role. Like, he was made to be in this, like, as long as he's not running the company and he's just prick GM Eric Bischoff, he's very, very good. He's probably one of the best that's ever done it. And I always enjoy him on my TV in this role. And for some reason here in my notes, I made a comment about how much I like Jerry the King Lawler's shirt with the purple and gold dragons. It reminded me of Larry Zbysko from Impact. So I don't know why that's in my notes, but it's random.
we're finding out more and more about you as we're going on, Sean.
Yes.
We then go back to the ring where we find out that the six-man tag that was meant to be happening will now be a 3-on-2 handicap match, which will pit Team Angle, as I said earlier, consisting of Kurt Angle, Shelton Benjamin, and Charlie Haas, against Brock Lesnar and Chris Benoit. I'll go to Logan first. Five absolute studs in the ring. First thing first, those Team Angle shell suits, where are they on WWE Shop Zone? They need to be released again. They're fantastic. But yeah, five absolute studs. I loved how they put over the wrestling aspect in this. Like, you know, they made clear to mention that all five were just great wrestlers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, these are like the five best technical wrestlers in the company. So I think actually not having Edge in there kind of helped this match a little bit, because it kind of made that a little bit more of a story. So it kind of worked out in their favor. It kind of happenstance. But yeah, I would want one of those Team Angle jackets as well. Those things are awesome.
They're pretty swish. As well, Logan, it was nice to see Kurt showing The Undertaker how to put a rear naked choke on.
Yeah, him giving a submission lesson for sure. That was awesome. But the match, the first note I made was Lesnar and Benoit beating the absolute shit out of the world's greatest tag team of Haas and Benjamin was quite enjoyable. They just wrecked them anytime that they're in the ring with them. I loved that Angle only got involved in the match when he could cheat or when Brock was compromised. I really thought that was a good little through line throughout the match. He would only get in the ring when Benoit or Brock was down, but mainly Brock. If Brock was in like kind of a compromising position, he would always try to hop in the ring then. Shelton blasts Lesnar with a super kick at one point. I thought that was really snug. Benoit does a snap suplex on Haas, but he does it onto Benjamin. I thought that was a really cool move. Benoit gets in and absolutely brutalizes all of the Team Angle members with Germans, just chucks them all around the ring. And another good point in this match, anytime Kurt was kind of getting beat up, it always seemed like Benjamin, it wasn't necessarily Haas, but Benjamin was always there to kind of save Angle from getting beat up. So I thought that that was a really smart little part of this match. So, you know, anytime he was in a compromising position, Benjamin was kind of always there to save him. The little leapfrog double team move that Shelton and Charlie do, I always love that little double team move that they do, where Shelton kind of, or Charlie has him on the ropes, and Shelton leapfrogs over Charlie and kind of lands on his back. I always thought that was cool. And I make this note all the time about old Brock Lesnar matches, but the F5 used to look so much better back in this time period. It just looks so much more crisp, and he just kind of tosses him around way easier than it seems like he does these days. I went 3 3/4 on this one. I thought it was really great. One of the better handicap matches I've ever seen, for sure.
It was really good. Sean, it was nice to see, even in 2003, that Brock can do a fine shade of red face going on. I mean, I know he got choked out, but he was pretty gassed towards the end there.
He was gassed, but Logan summed up a lot of this already, so I'm going to try and not repeat myself. I love the ring gear. Team Angle ring gear is so great, and again, I'm going to repeat, these guys did not get a long enough run. Shelton and Haas and Angle together is pure money. And this match is high impact. It's intense. You brought up, you know, everybody did their role. I love that Brock was coercing Angle to come in the ring. Brock had some awesome press slams. You brought up the super kick by Benjamin to Brock that looked savage. You know, even like Kurt Angle on something as simple as a rear neck lock just looks like vicious doing it, just wrenching it in. You know, the ending going back of the German suplexes are great. There was a Benoit into ankle lock, and he took an ankle lock into a cross face. The ending was a cross face and an F5. There's just so much going on in this match. Pure intensity, just five great hosses just beating the shit out of each other. And I'm like Logan, I love this match. I also went 3 3/4 on it. Probably, you know, we have a gem section at the end of this show. This is by far a hidden gem because I didn't remember this match whatsoever, and I think it gets lost in the stigma of the Triple H Steiner shit. So, great, great match. Just absolutely great.
Three for three on the match rating. Yeah, I went 3 3/4. I absolutely loved it. I'm glad that Logan mentioned the whole Angle would only go in the ring when Brock was hurt or, like, you know, or compromised, like you say. And this was one of those times where Taz and Cole sort of came into their own on commentary because they were able to tell that story really well, I thought.
I like the fact that, again, WrestleMania 19, the greatest WrestleMania ever. I'm saying it again. This match does a great job setting up Angle versus Brock at WrestleMania. You want to see these guys go at it because this match gives you a taste of what it could be. And it also wants you to see more of Benoit. So the good news is we'll get more of Benoit with Haas and Benjamin at WrestleMania 2. This match is so good. I can't, like, really, really. This is like my thing here. I love these five guys just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, as good as those three, as good as we know that Lesnar, Benoit, and Angle were. Yeah, I thought the real stars of this was Team Angle. That was a coming out party for them.
Benjamin especially. You guys said it. Yes. Benjamin was really good in this.
And like Logan says, I will reiterate what Logan said about that double team move. It pops me every time they do it.
In a rumble when they weren't even a team anymore, and it was awesome because they kind of broke it back out. But that's always a cool move that I liked.
Yeah, but yeah, like Sean said, if you haven't seen this match for a while, go out your way to see it because this is suplexes and kicks and punches, and you know they're telling a story. These actually mean something. They're not just throwing the moves for moves' sakes, are they? They're actually telling the story. And you know, like we said, that the commentators are putting over the amateur background and Angle's quote unquote cowardice throughout. Yeah, I'm with you too. I can't say enough good about this.
I would basically say, if you were to say the words Brock Lesnar, Chris Benoit, and Team Angle in a match, imagine what you think that match would be. It is exactly what you think it would be. That's how I would sum it up. Yeah.
That's pretty damn fair.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I come up with good ones.
So, Jeff,
unlike the next match.
Give me a sec. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Because you think this is a, we've given that match 3 3/4. Everything else on this show has been around the 2-2.5 star range. Why would Logan pick a show like this? Why?
Because it's about to go.
And then you realize why. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's no nice way of saying this. It's Triple H versus Scott Steiner 2. And the things we do for our art. I remember, you know, close to a year ago, boys, when I said, oh, let's do a podcast about bad wrestling show and bad matches. That'll be fun. And now I'm like, really?
Well, it has been fun, but there's been a lot of shit in that watch. So,
well, let's start positive, and I will go to Logan first of all. So, Logan, tell everybody about that video package before this match.
I was about to say, if there was ever a video package that got you more hype for a match that absolutely just was a hot, wet fart, just to stink up the whole arena, this is the one, because this video package is freaking amazing, and they completely ruin it by having an absolutely dog shit match.
Sean, talk about the video package first, then we'll get to the match.
the video, I think we said it at the beginning of this podcast, the video package leading into this match would make you think you're about to watch a 5-star classic. You know, and just like WrestleMania 17, where everyone says that match is a 5-star classic, I think the promo video leading to it is better than the match too. Because I had to say that. But yeah, the video, the music, we said earlier, we got kind of a cold opening and a peak of the song. The reason why that song was not played fully there and really brought up is because they needed a strong promo video to go into this match, which is perceived as one of the worst matches of all time. So, which we'll talk about in a minute.
So I did ask you this beforehand, but Logan, what are your feelings about the first match, the first Steiner Triple H match? Before we talk about this one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really bad, but like, it gets to the point where he's just chucking him around doing suplexes and stuff like that, that it's almost comical. So it's almost funny, funnier than it is bad, but it's still bad at the same time. But like, the fact that they ran it back and really didn't do that much different is insane to me.
No, they did do something different, Logan. Triple H had his quad taped up, damn it.
That's true, I guess. I'm sorry. Sorry, Triple H. You did a little bit different.
he was trying to tell a story there. Go on, Sean. I'll let you go first about this.
I'm gonna take some shit on this one. I know it already. So so you want me to talk about the first match and then get into this one? How I felt about
yes,
the first
please.
Match?
Sorry, yes, sorry.
All right, so the first match was pure dog shit. I remember I was super excited for Steiner versus Triple H, because I love Scott Steiner in his 2001 run. I think he was one of the highlights of the end of WCW, and they were actually building up pretty good, but it was kind of too little too late there. So I was excited when he came in, excited when he came here, and naturally I thought him and Triple H would be a great matchup. Well, obviously at the Royal Rumble we were proven wrong, so it was shocking to me that they would do a rematch here, but I guess that's what they had penciled in on the way to WrestleMania. So a couple of notes I made. I mean, the timing is really bad. This match should have been done 2 years earlier, like I talked about. It was shocking to me that they would do a rematch here, but I guess that's what they had penciled in on the way to WrestleMania. 2001 Triple H and 2001 Scott Steiner probably would have had a pretty damn good banger. I would think we'd all agree on that, right?
I would agree on that.
Logan, how about you?
Yeah, I think it definitely could have been pretty good.
Yeah, so pre-2001 injury, Triple H and Scott Steiner would have been awesome. Again, I talked about I'm shocked they did it again. We already talked about the great pipe video. I hated Steiner's theme music here. It was very great value. I hated it so much. I made a note that Steiner is so vascular and gross looking. You know, Vince likes those vascular, the word vascular. He looks really gross and he flexes and he's got like this three bumps on top of bumps in his arms that are just really disturbing. The crowd's booing and shitting all over Scott Steiner, and he hasn't even really done anything yet. And this is where I think a lot of people feel like this match, I know I'm going to get my ass kicked for this one, is worse than it really is, because the crowd shits on it right from the beginning. Think about what happened at the Royal Rumble. They're cheering the shit out of Triple H. Whenever he's on offense, they cheer the shit out of him. Whenever Steiner goes on the offense, they just hate him and they boo the shit out of him. There's points where Steiner's wrestling as a heel because he's telling the ref to shut up. He's doing push-ups. The Steiner sucks chants are really, really funny. I thought Steiner was smart working the injury on the inner thigh when it was wrapped up. The figure four obviously doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he shouldn't be doing the figure four. I thought Flair was really good in this. The crowd loved him interfering in this match. I thought the throw to the steps was savage. The guys were stiff with each other, and Triple H keeps trying to get DQ'd, and the crowd is shitting on the match. It kind of takes you out, so yes, we get the suplexes. We get a bunches of chops. Steiner does a terrible-looking Steiner recliner. The pedigree I thought was really good. I thought it was better than the Rumble match. And I hate to say this, guys, but I don't think the match is as bad as people think it is. And I know you're going to tell me I'm wrong. But I really think the crowd right out of the gate shitting on this match takes people out of it and makes it a lot worse than it really is. Is it great? No, it's far from good. Far from great. But I actually went 1.5 stars on it. I did not think it was that terrible of a match as history says it is. And I know I'm going to get the shit take of the night or whatever the award is, but that's how I feel about the match.
Oh, my God. Logan, bring some sense into this podcast, please.
I'll just put it this way. The most entertaining part of the match and the highlight of the match for me was Steiner had Triple H in a figure four, and Flair reaches in and rakes his eyes while Triple H kind of has the ref, he has grabbing him, but he does a strut after that, and that was the absolute highlight of the match for me. Sean mentioned the stair spot. I thought that was really brutal. But I think Rory in the chat the other day put this as well as possibly could be put. It's just dull. It's the same match that they did at the Royal Rumble, but just it didn't even have the comical effect of all the suplexes and stuff like that. I mean, they still did a bunch of suplexes and netbreakers and stuff like that, but it just is so boring, so dull, so just blah. And, you know, I can't believe they were so thick-headed to run this back twice. I know the match at the Rumble ended in a DQ, but I'll give it 3/4 of a star, but I'm being merciful in doing that.
Oh, God.
See, I don't think I'm that far off. That could have been a lot worse.
Well, I went negative, gents. I went -1.5.
I don't know how you get negative on this.
I hate it. It was so dull and boring. When the best thing about the match is the crowd shouting, "You screwed Brett at Earl Hebner," then we've got a problem going on here.
Okay, give me this, Ben. Give me this. The crowd was shitting on it before it even started. Like, yes. They hadn't even started the match, and they're shitting all over it already.
I will give you that.
So you don't think that takes away from some of the match in terms of how it really is versus crowd perspective right out of that's where I was trying to distinguish it for me.
No, because the crowd made a mind up. Well, I could make mind up without the crowd noise, and it was just awful. It was just god awful, slow, plodding, boring. You'll be pleased to note though that I did make a note of the suplexes versus the netbreaker. Steiner won that though. He'll be pleased about that. He got 7 suplexes in.
Steiner is very Brock Lesnar 2019 and 20 in this match.
He got seven suplexes in to Triple H's 5 net breakers, and that's all the match was. It was net breakers and suplexes, punches and kicking, and a bit of Evolution interference, and that's it.
Yeah, the 3/4 of a star is completely for Flair, because he does the part that I talked about earlier, and he's dressed like my dad going to church with his outfit that he has on.
Well, so if you rated the promo video and Flair in this match, it's an easy 4 stars just for the two of those.
Well, and I'm sort of watching my own ratings, because I remember last month I went -1 on that women's match, and this is worse than that, so I've got to go.
Oh, you're insane. You are. Out of your
I don't know if I can go that far.
You're out of your mind, Ben.
But yeah, I'm going to keep it there. Minus 1.5. I'm going to keep it there.
that's like pure like what? So you're going minus 1.5 on this?
Yes.
Jesus, is that like the worst rating you've given on this show?
No, because I gave Hogan Warrior. I think I went the full minus 5 on that.
Oh yeah, well yeah, but this match is not that bad, man. Even Logan gave it like a 3/4. Come on.
And I hate Scott Steiner in 2003 Triple H.
You're not. You're not going to change my mind, gentlemen. Sorry.
All right, it's fine. It's fine. Move on.
The second of our triple main event, it pits Stone Cold Steve Austin on his big return to the company against Mr. Eric Bischoff. Not only do we get Michael, not only do we get Coach and the King on commentary, we are joined by JR himself. Logan, this commentary was refreshingly unbiased, straight down the middle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, JR was calling it back and forth. It was great. I'll let Sean talk about it, but I'll let him get the tear into this one for sure.
Sean, are you even classing this as a match, or is this a segment?
I did rank it as a match, but it's more – listen, here's the thing. Austin versus Bischoff made sense. I don't think – I mean, it makes sense years after the fact. I mean, when did Austin get fired by Bischoff? In 95, I think he got fired. So we're here 8 years later, and we're going to make an angle out of it with Austin returning and Bischoff being in charge. So, yeah, if you're an insider and you know the history, this is really something that you'd look forward to 8 years ago. But Austin's coming back. It's a big deal. I mean, Jake just went through this on his pod where Austin left and sour grapes and everybody shit on Austin. And I don't think his first match back should be against Bischoff. So it makes sense. You know, we made the comment earlier about the cinder block to JR was so bad, and now he's back out here for commentary when he should be in a hospital dying from, like, being cracked in the head. The crowd was super hot. I mean, Austin could do no wrong here. The crowd was freaking going crazy. JR was stroking, overselling everything. You would have thought that this was Mick Foley being thrown off the cage again with the way he was reacting. Austin was no-selling everything, and I was laughing hard. The Steiners look good, or the Stunners look good to Bischoff, and Bischoff takes his bumps. It's not a match. It's just, you know, a welcome back for Austin, just to kick Bischoff's ass moment. But it's ludicrous. I mean, JR is just ludicrous, and then King and Coach also realize how ludicrous it is. I don't know if we could really rank it as a match. If I were going to go as a match, I would probably give it maybe a 1/4 star just for the historic nature of it. But this match is not really a match. So maybe I should just say not a match and put a dud or just 0 stars and move on. Cause it's really nothing.
I love that whole bit where Bischoff's doing the karate kicks and Stone Cold gives that sly little grin as he's getting them. He's like, brushing them off basically.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Logan, I don't know how you would have coped with JR if you were sat next to JR doing that commentary, but I loved King and Coach basically corpsing live on air and just not caring.
Yeah, that was awesome. They just kind of sat there and didn't say anything. Not having to listen to Coach for a match was a highlight of the night for sure. But yeah, like Sean said, this had to have been a dream for Austin to kind of beat the piss out of Bischoff after firing him so many years ago. But I can't ever hate on Jim Ross when he gets all like already shitting on somebody and just completely burying him. He did it to Triple H throughout the years, and he would do it to Vince, and he does it to Bischoff here. So I can't downplay it too much. And, I didn't rank it as a match, you know, it was 5-star entertainment for him kicking Bischoff's ass, but I didn't give it a ranking as a match because it just was basically a segment to me.
Yeah, I was the same. Like, I think. Well, I didn't know actually. I've got a rating as a match, but it was only a dud. But the match note reads: match is a dud with 5-star commentary from JR.
Yeah, that's about where I would go.
I know you're not a fan of the commentary, though, Sean.
No, I am not. I hate it. It's terrible. It makes JR look like a big freaking goof.
But that's what he is at this point.
Well, he is now, but this is 2003, you know, so in 2021, he's certain. Well, now he's just a bitter old fuck. Back then, he's
He's so bad on AEW.
He's not great, is it? It doesn't help when you've got, like, you basically got three play-by-play men on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do laugh sometimes when he shits on the match and doesn't care if it makes TV. Sometimes that makes me laugh because he's making fun of the match and, you know, he goes into business for himself. But, yeah, he's terrible. He's just really bad. But anyway.
And he sat next to Tony, who's just great.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the Shivani mark and me coming out. We have got one match left, and it is obviously our main event of the evening. It is a rematch from 11 months previously, pitting Hulk Hogan against The Rock. But this is not any old version of The Rock. This is Hollywood Rock. Probably one of the greatest heel characters that they've ever come up with in the entire history of this company. I think the reason it is so fondly remembered is the fact it's only around for 3 or 4 months. We are a podcast that likes to accentuate the positives. So let us just take a moment to recognize the fact that this has the debut of one of the greatest entrance videos of all time, which is Hollywood Rock's entrance video with the is cooking at the end.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's the best entrance of all time, I think, or one of them for sure.
I gave it the little second it deserved, gentlemen, because then we have. I mean, obviously, you know, it's not Hulk's fault. Now it's what because they're not paying the money out to Hendricks, his estate. We have the awful dubbing of Voodoo Child. What was that, Logan? What was that? Some sort of really awful, like, electronic version?
It was an absolute tragedy, is what it was. It's so bad, and poor Jake has to listen to it on every episode of the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. So I can't even. It's so bad. It's so bad.
And unfortunately, he has to watch Hulk Hogan in this time period too, which is really bad as well.
you have every sympathy, Jake. But and also, Jen, so I want to point out before we talk about the match, the fact we have a new ref for this match, one Sylvain Grenier, who I'm sure that point will not become important or factor into the end of this match at all.
I'm sure not at all.
No chance.
Again, Logan, much like the Big Show Undertaker match, this was a match where I didn't need to pause the match once to catch everything because the match was that damn slow.
Yeah, it was very slow, and they stalled like for 2 or 3 minutes at the very start, and it didn't give me a good feeling about where it was headed. This match is more disappointing than it is anything. It's just like. They both have great matches at the next pay-per-view. At WrestleMania, Rock has a great match with Austin, and Hogan has a great match with Vince. So it just makes it more disappointing that just thinking about the fact that they could put together a good match, and even more disappointing that a year earlier they had an equally as good match. So I can't imagine Hogan was that much more broken down, or The Rock was that checked out at that point, because he obviously came back for a reason. But I noticed a lot. I watched this match twice because I feel like I didn't give it the proper rating the first time I watched it. But I feel like The Rock was doing a little bit of the like 2005 Shawn Michaels and the SummerSlam match with Hogan. I feel like he did a lot of overacting and he kind of sold way too much. I think he was kind of in his Hollywood. He was really in his Hollywood character. So he oversold way too much. And I feel like he gave way too much to some of Hogan's offense, but just, yeah, this match is just boring. It went on way too long. The bullshit with the lights at the end is so dumb. The crooked ref and all that. I went dud originally, but I'll give it half a star Because it was just that bad.
So, yeah, so the second viewing didn't improve things that much.
It was still bad.
I'm with Logan a bit here, Sean, because, you know, that Montreal crowd, that was the crowd they had the night after, or the two nights after WrestleMania last year. So they're still crazy for Hogan. So it obviously, you know, you can't blame the atmosphere, because they're still playing along, if you will.
I feel like I've been on too many pods with Hulk Hogan in this era. I've been on Jake's pod, and now here we have kind of the same timeline, Hogan. I'm so over Hogan. He's so cooked at this point. And again, here's another second match of the night where the actual, like, whether it's the promo video or the actual entrance is better than the match. The Rock's heel entrance is an all-timer. It's just so good and so well done. It's right up, like, 2003's got some good, like, I like Evolution's entrance in 2003. I think that's a pretty badass one, but this one definitely takes the cake. But Hulk Hogan is cooked. And what really pisses me off about this match, it's literally just a match that's here to progress Hulk Hogan versus Vince at WrestleMania. So you have two of your biggest stars of all time in this match, in a rematch from a match that was one of the most freaking heralded, like, unexpected great matches of all time, and you're going to use it to sell Hulk Hogan versus Vince, which, again, at the greatest WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 19, has a fantastic match between Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon. Rock making fun of Hulk Hogan in his promo, I thought was very funny. The crowd is clearly back in Hogan, so Rock's done his job in making the first being hated. The first Rock Bottom with Hogan is so weak looking. It's just terrible. Taz covers up by saying he didn't know if he got all of it. I did laugh at I did laugh at Rock's way overselling. I like your analogy of Michaels at 05. Rock making fun of Hogan and posing as Hogan doing his elbow drop was funny. But again, the ref was in on it. This match sucks so bad. Just awful, 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 just to build to a match with Hogan and Vince. And what a waste of The Rock here. And just, it pissed me off so damn much. I actually went a quarter star on this. This match is bullshit. That's just, can't put it out. It's pure bullshit.
I went the dud on it. Now, here's the thing that annoys me, because they even use this spot in the match. So the thing that annoys me, and it's a trope that has been used to death nowadays, but guess what? You're in Montreal. It's fine to use the screw job ending in Montreal. That's the whole fucking point of it. The Rock even puts Hogan in the sharpshooter. Look, I'm not saying the finish is going to bump it up any, by the way, boys, when I say this, but that literally Vince and the screw job ending comes like 2 or 3 minutes later. Why not do it then? You literally had the perfect spot.
Yep.
Instead of the bullshit we got.
Yeah, it's, I just don't know how you put The Rock on his return in this match just to sell another match at WrestleMania when he's going to go on and face Austin, and you did nothing here to make that important. It's infuriating.
Two things though, legends, and you know, I'm sure we were really excited that this show brought us the debut of Sylvain Grenier. That's what we're going to remember No Way Out 2003-4.
Very important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Logan, the very last shot that we saw, because he has to do it on pretty much any show he's on, is Vince's dad, Jim Bott, bod.
Yeah, he had to rip the Hulk Hogan shirt off and show off his svelte chest.
By the way, Hogan literally did a blade job for literally 1 minute of TV. Like, he cuts his head just for 1 minute of a pay-per-view. I mean, this is, I could shit on this match all night.
Yeah, that chair shot sucked too.
Yes, exactly. So bad. Hogan is cooked, man. They just, like, after the match with Vince at Mania, which is, again, another unexpected great match, he should just get the fuck out of Dodge.
he only lasts, like, 2 months after that, Sean. You're fine.
Yeah, that's good.
But we get him versus Roddy Piper, like, 8 or 9 years after it was relevant.
Yes. Mr. America, oh, God, so bad.
I have a feeling we could stay in 03 for a while and be okay.
I was about to say, who's got May?
I don't know how WrestleMania 19 is the greatest WrestleMania of all time in such a bad year.
Is it the greatest show? You've not made your feelings very clear on that.
Well, you know, I feel like
this was an inside job. Sean told me to pick this so he could say WrestleMania 19 was the best.
Okay, that makes sense.
I picked my opportunity. Thank you for picking this show.
You're welcome.
So that is the end of this show, but not the end of our shows. We've got some awards to give out. Very easy first award, but I'll make it official by asking around. Logan, what is the best match and why was it the handicap tag?
Yeah, the handicap tag for sure. Just all five guys just busted their ass and it was amazing.
Clean sweep, Sean.
Steiner Triple H for the promo video and Ric Flair. No, I'm kidding. It's definitely the handicap match by a landslide.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that's a clean sweep there. Worst match might be a bit more tricky. I think you know my feelings, but I'll go to Sean first.
I don't think it's tricky whatsoever. It's clearly Rock versus Hulk Hogan.
Logan's got the deciding vote.
In an upset, I actually went Hogan Rock too.
Okay.
Good man.
I work in a democracy. It's fine. We have
neither of them were good. Neither of them were good. So there's no winner in that one.
Our next award is our most surprising match of the night, and as always, surprising can be surprisingly good or surprisingly bad. Logan, I'll stick with you.
I'll go both ways. The opener was surprisingly good. I was surprised by that match, how great it was with Hardy and Jericho. And then I'll go disappointingly surprising with the main event, how bad it was, considering how good of a match they had in the past.
Same question to you, Sean.
So I have two, but most surprising wouldn't be a Jericho match because I think Jericho could carry anyone. But Jeff Hardy brought the goods, so I can't down Hardy for that. The most surprising for me is that I did not dud Steiner and Triple H. I actually lived through it, and I wasn't disgusted or felt a certain way about it, so that was most surprising for me, but definitely surprised at how bad Rock versus Hulk Hogan was. So those would be my two.
I'm going surprisingly good. I'm going to go with the fact that it was a watchable match and quite a passable match, 2003 Undertaker and Big Show. We talk about people at that point of their career, unless they're in with somebody else, they ain't getting carried by anybody. So two quarter stars, that'll do me. It wasn't a waste of time. Our next award is the Lenny Lane Award for the biggest shit take of the night. I get the feeling Sean's going to give it to me, but I will go to Sean anyway and ask him. Let's make it official.
Well, it's a toss-up between you and Logan saying that Kidman's music was good. I'm going to give it to you. I got to give it to you.
I've noticed a trend on this that I tend to pick.
Well, no, I think I already. But you, I think Logan's gonna. I think Logan's gonna go on me, so I think you're gonna be okay. So.
Okay, so Logan, where are you gonna go?
Yeah, I mean, I won't completely shit on his take on Steiner Triple H, but I'll give it to him for that and for saying Kidman's music sucks. Great thing, all time.
I wouldn't go as far as all time, but yeah, I quite like Kidman's theme.
No, it's not that great, but it is. I do really enjoy it for sure.
Yeah, so Sean, I'm afraid 1.5 stars. That's no.
I knew coming into this it was going to be me, so it's all good. I knew it.
Okay.
It's not as bad as the Lenny Lane rating, so I'm good with it.
Nothing, Sean, will be as bad as the Lenny Lane rating. That's why the award's named after him.
Yeah, I got it. It's all good.
So Logan, what was your favorite fashion statement of the night?
I had two down. Matt Hardy's pants during this run, the like kimono looking pants, they're the Japanese pants that he wore during his cruiserweight run. I really like those, but I think I'm gonna have to settle on Flair wearing the turtleneck with the suit jacket over it. He just looked like my dad when he goes to church during the winter when it's kind of cold, when he has to wear turtlenecks. So I'll go with Flair's little turtleneck sweater he had on.
Sean, same to you.
I'm going with Team Angle Wear. I desperately need some of those. Their outfits are awesome. So I'm going with that.
Is that our first positive fashion statement award? I think
I have to. It's so great. They're so underrated. I realized how much I miss them.
and now you've said it. I was going to go with Austin's jorts or Christian's chainmail, but now you said it, I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to go with the velour tracksuit. I think that's a great pick.
I feel like all three of us should get tracksuits like that for chicken salad since we can't get no fucking merch.
Hey, I heard Andy's daughter can do pretty much anything. So.
Oh yeah, we should reach out to Andy. Maybe we'll get us some. we can get us some team chicken salad gear. That'd be awesome.
we know people who can. Okay, and the biggest question or the biggest award of the night, Logan, is No Way Out 2003 chicken salad or chicken shit?
Oh boy.
Okay. So work with me here. So you're having your nice little chicken salad sandwich. It tastes good. It everything's going all right. You eat it. You enjoy it. It's real good. You get in your car. You head home. But about an hour later, it starts to rumble a little bit, and you start to feel like you're about to just explode out of your ass because you kind of had a little bit of food poisoning. So I'll go chicken salad, but it kind of leads to chicken shit. So I'll go salad just a little bit, but it kind of works its way into the shit category towards the end because you kind of have that food poisoning thing going on. If that makes sense at all.
I love how our analogies go. Sean, what about you? Salad or shit?
This might be the hardest show to figure out for me. Out of all the ones we've done, this one is super, super hard. Because you got a 3-star match, you got a 3 3/4 star match, you got multiple two, you got a 2.5, a couple twos, and then literally, if we didn't rank the Bischoff Austin match, I gave 1.5 to Steiner, and then obviously for me the big shit was wrong. I'll go with Logan. I'm gonna err on the side of chicken salad because, you know, there's two gems on this show. I would tell people to go out of their way to the watch. So I can't really, just because we have one or even two bad matches and everything else is pretty good, I can't in good nature give it chicken shit. So I'm gonna go with chicken salad.
I'm gonna go salad because like 2 hours of this show are really, you know, good to passable, aren't they? And I didn't mention it, but yeah, we're obviously going to add the handicap tag to our hidden gem list. So far, we've only actually got 4 matches on that from 9 shows.
I would actually add Jeff. I would actually add Hardy and Jericho to that too. Actually, I would. Logan probably would too.
Yeah, Logan, I really like that one too.
Because
yeah.
It's better than what you think it is. That's my point.
Okay. I'll go with that. Again, we work the democracy here.
Ben, it's hard for me to say a Jeff Hardy should be a gem of anything but shit, so let's just roll with it.
let's give him credit where credit's due. I think that's fair. I think that is fair.
Let's make 10-year-old Logan's fantasy, you know, come alive. So I'm sure he's very happy right now.
I sent the gents the lead table that we do for the shows in private, because we're getting to that point now where I bet it's going to take me like good minute, 2 minutes to read everything that's on there. But to remind you, at the very top of our league table with the worst show of all time is WCW's Fall Brawl of 99. The best show we've reviewed, which is at the bottom of the table, is SummerSlam of 1993. Sean, I will stick with you. Whereabouts would you put this show?
I would put it, SummerSlam. I would put it right between Halloween Havoc 98 and Royal Rumble 06.
So give me a second. I should get the Logan, what about you? And I'll get the league table. That would help.
What's right above Halloween Havoc? Is anything but SummerSlam?
Starrcade 89.
So yeah, so Halloween Havoc is sixth, and yeah, so sixth is Halloween Havoc, seventh is Starrcade, eighth is SummerSlam 93.
I'll stick with Sean. Put it below Halloween Havoc, but above Rumble.
Okay.
Man, Logan, way too much agreeing tonight.
So that will be the sixth worst show we've watched out of nine.
We're growing, Sean. That's all it means.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm bringing you two together. That's what.
Well, nine episodes of this and 17 episodes of Impact. I mean, let's really be real here. We're building that bond.
The friendship is there. That's all that matters.
And I got to shit on Japanese Ric Flair matches with you. I mean, you know, that just builds a bond that can't be broken.
Yeah, yeah. I hope you enjoyed your one. I hope you enjoyed your one appearance on Crock and Roll.
Yeah, Chad's not gonna have me back on. Yeah, he's not gonna allow it.
Awesome,
gents. I've got some exciting news to tell you. Next month we make it double figures. Episode 10.
Wow. That's like the gold number.
Yeah, you make it to double figures and you're there. Sean, yep. you have the pick for next month. It being March, it being WrestleMania season. It is the granddaddy of them all, but there is a lot of shit out there. You know, as much as we love WrestleMania around these parts, there is a lot of awful WrestleManias out there. Sean, what are we talking about next month?
Well, I wanted to pick WrestleMania 17, but I knew that many people would not agree with that, so I'm going to go with majority rules on that one. I actually picked WrestleMania 9 because I think it's perceived as one of the worst, if not the worst, WrestleManias of all time, so we're going to watch WrestleMania 9.
WrestleMania 9, we are going to be wearing togas for the occasion, it being WrestleMania season and obviously our double figure celebration. So togas will be provided, gentlemen. We cannot get merchandise, but we will have them.
Well, we have elephants to ride out on.
Damn right we do.
Oh, God, if we get our second Giant Gonzalez match of this podcast. No, our third one,
actually. Second one against the other. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's our third one. Wow.
The hits just keep on coming.
It's just dawned on me that we're gonna have two Taker Gonzalez matches in this pod. Wow.
We'll watch them in reverse order. Oh no.
But guess what as well?
What?
We get Tatanka in a free featured match as well.
Oh, you too.
So, before we go, I will pass it over to Sean. Have you got anything you would like to plug while you're here?
Yeah, so NWA Crock and Roll. Logan was on the most recent episode looking at, was it October 85, part 2, on the build to Starrcade, where we have some Ric Flair in Japan that Logan totally shits all over. But no, it's always a great time when we get to talk some NWA Crockett. Our next record should be coming up soon, where we'll be doing part one of November 85 with Rory McNamara joining us for that one. So I look forward to that. I haven't done many pods with Rory, but as you know, he was on our Royal Rumble watch, and he always brings a bit of class to any show he's on. But yeah, so that should be fun. I'll let Logan talk about the other one we do, but I do want to throw one out there that Shrink Wrapped that I do with Ginny and Tim on the North South feed. Listen to the latest one that comes out, where we look at Vision and Scarlet Witch. Their limited series, number 1 through 4, kind of correlates with WandaVision, which I do on Pop Goes to the Couch on the Pop feed. And then stay tuned for a new podcast I'll be doing with Scott Shiflett that I'm not going to let out of the bag yet. That'll be on the Pop feed. That should be coming up soon after this debut. So that's what I got going on.
Excellent. Logan, what's happening in your world?
We just dropped the most recent episode of Highway to the Impact Zone. We talked about three different episodes of Impact, and it kind of featured the number one contenders tournament for who was going to face Jeff Jarrett at Victory Road. But there was a little tournament that they did for that. We had a tag title change. We had some outsiders mentioned, and maybe we figured out who those outsiders were.
I still can't figure it out.
Yeah, I was saying Jarrett told us, and we still can't figure it out.
Hopefully, by the time I'm on with you guys, I'll be able to sort it.
And don't forget, Jeff Hammond was a big fan of that episode. He retweeted it.
Oh yeah, Jeff Hammond got a big. We got a big retweet from old Jeff Hammond on that one. Ben's best buddy. But we discussed some. Canadian sex acts like the Ruffy Silverstein and the Canadian Destroyer. So that one's a good part to listen to. That one went off the rails a little bit, but it was a great time with Sean and Matt and Jake. The only other thing I have going on, it'll be out by the time you hear this, but from Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, me and Roger are going to watch movies featuring wrestlers, and we looked at No Holds Barred. I'm looking forward to everybody hearing that one, but that'll be out. We're recording this on a Friday. It'll be out tomorrow on Saturday the 30th. So, that's all I got going on right now.
Excellent, excellent. From me, the newest episode of the Special Relations for January dropped last weekend. We talked all things Royal Rumble, both current and retro. We kicked off our stretch project for 2021, which is going to be looking back at the year 1996 and what it meant in the world of wrestling and pop culture, as well as wrapping up the we talked all things Royal Rumble, both current and retro. We kicked off our stretch project for 2021, which is going to be looking back at the year 1996 and what it meant in the world of wrestling and pop culture, as well as wrapping up The Happy Place. It was Callum's turn, and like we can only do it with first time guests, and if we're not going to have any first time guests for a bit, then we're going to semi-retire it. A little preview, I won't say until it's officially been recorded, but there might be a new podcast coming on the Pop Feed featuring yours truly and the two gentlemen on this call. So stay tuned for that. That's all I will say for now. So I would like to thank Logan Crosland and Sean Kidd for being here with me on Chicken Salad episode number 9. And remember, in a world where you can be anything you want to be kind. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next month.